Jim Tuck.
I said, he was the pastor.
Thank you, Jack. Good afternoon, everyone. I keep learning things about Mom and Dad. We're Scottish, and they are notoriously penny pinchers. For Mom and Dad's 59th wedding anniversary, he took her to the Lincoln Regional Hospital. So, it's good to see him back here with us. So, back around the 1st of December, I went to the doctor for a physical for insurance purposes. And I went in and they did the regular blood pressure, listened to my heart, and they took an x-ray of me and my chest and all of these things, and they drew blood and all these different things. And the doctor told me, he said, come back in about a week and, you know, I'll let you know what the results are. So I went back in about a week, and I was just basically going in there to pick up the paperwork to take to the insurance company. And when he sat me down and started talking to me, some of the numbers were a little out of whack. I was going in to get the all clear, and it was a little bit muddy and everything. And so this kind of got my attention a little bit. Now, I don't think I've got a foot in the grave or anything like that. I think I'll survive, but it did get my attention. So he explained everything that was kind of off or whatever. And so I went home and I started Googling these different things and reading up on what I should do and what I needed to do and all these different things. And throughout the process of this, naturally, I prayed about it and I talked with God about it and I asked him to heal me of these different things, whatever it was. It wasn't a lot, but few different things. And I prayed for this healing, and I also asked him to guide and lead me to help educate me about these different things that were going on and to guide me to find the right articles and the different information that I would need. And I looked into the Bible to see, you know, what he had to say about these different, maybe not specific issues, but just in general health issues and things of that nature. And what I found is that I did need to physically make some changes, change my diet, change the way I thought about some things, look at myself with a little bit more of a microscope. But not only did I need to physically change through this process, I realized that I needed to spiritually change. I need to spiritually clean my life up, to detox spiritually, if you will. I need to change some things. And so it made me start thinking about some of this. And so today, during this split sermon, I want to discuss spiritual detoxification. We will look at the need for spiritual detoxification. We'll discuss some of the spiritual toxins, and then we'll look at a few ways that we can eliminate those toxins from our life. Now, spiritually, just like with our physical bodies, these toxins can build up over time. Now, it took a blood test for me to find out what was wrong with me physically so that I knew what to work on, what I needed to change. Now, we can't necessarily go get a blood test that tells us what we need to change spiritually. So we have to begin to test ourselves, to examine ourselves and look at what exactly is going on in our lives and see what it is that we need to work on spiritually, to detoxify ourselves spiritually. Now I want to begin in 1 John chapter 3. I want to look at the first three verses there. So if you would turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So ultimately, our goal is to be spirit-born children of God, to live our lives eternally with God in Christ in God's kingdom. That is our goal. It says, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him, speaking of Jesus Christ. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. In verse 3, it says, and everyone who has this hope in him, everyone who is called, everyone who has this hope in Jesus Christ, this hope of spending eternity in God's kingdom, everyone who believes in that purifies himself, cleanses himself, just as he, Jesus Christ, is pure. Jesus Christ left us a perfect example of what it means to be pure. Jesus Christ has no spiritual toxins. And so we begin to look at his life to see what we need to be, what it means to be spiritually free of these toxic elements. And we emulate Jesus Christ, and we purify ourselves just as he is pure, because he showed us what to do. Now, throughout the pages of the Bible, God gives us all the answers that we need. Everything that we need is right here in this book. And God and Christ help us along the way, but they fully expect us to engage in this effort. We have to put the work in. We have to get into the Bible. We have to dig out the answers. And we, each one individually, have to identify what our own toxins are. All of us don't have the same spiritual toxins. They're different for each one of us, and we have to get into the pages of the Bible, and we have to put the work in to dig those answers out. Just like I found out what was wrong with me, I can't go for a week and clean my diet up, cut the sugar out, cut the preservatives out. You go down the list, exercise for a week, and then at the end of that week, boom, I'm healthy, completely healthy. It's the same way spiritually. We can't find out what's wrong with us and go at it hard and heavy for a week. We're praying every day. We're studying every day. We're asking God for forgiveness of everything. And then at the end of that week, we're spiritually clean. It's an ongoing process. If you will, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll look at verse 11 through 18. The Apostle Paul is writing the second letter to the Corinthian church, and this was a church that had a lot of different spiritual toxins, and Paul had to talk to them about different things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections, by your own desires, by what it is that you want to do. Now in return for the same, it says, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. He's speaking to the Corinthian church. And though they had their own problems that they had to deal with, they are the temple of God. And we in this room, we are the temple of God. We all may have different problems that we face that we have to deal with spiritually, but we are a part of God's temple. And Paul asks the question here. He says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now, some of us, we may have an issue with idols. But what if we said, what agreement has the temple of God? These people who are trying to purify themselves, who are trying to cleanse themselves spiritually, what do these people have to do with that sin that so easily besets us? Because each one of us has that. If you think about your life, there's probably one or two or three things that consistently come back. You think, man, I've got this licked. And then before you know it, you're doing it again. You're like, what's happening here? We all have that sin that sets us back. In order to be an effective part of God's temple, we have to become pure like Jesus Christ is pure. So that's our goal that we're working towards. And when we go after that goal, God has a lot of beautiful promises that we get here and that He gives to us here. Sometimes we read through this and it's easy enough to just glance over it. But think about what He's saying in the second half of verse 16 here, because it's very important stuff. He says, as God has said, so this is from God Himself. He says, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I don't know if there's any more beautiful words in the Bible than that. When you think that God is among us right now, that He's living and active in our lives, that He's a part of who we are, as long as we are working and striving to obey Him, to cleanse our lives of these spiritual toxins, He's there for us. He's involved in it. He wants to be involved in it. And these are wonderfully beautiful promises. And then in verse 17, we're given a primary ingredient that it takes to spiritually detox. It says, therefore, because of these promises that God has made to us, because of who God is to us, He says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We live our lives in a different way. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. So there we have it. We separate ourselves from those spiritual toxins. And whatever that might be, we each one have to ask and answer that question of ourselves. We might be involved in work too much. We might be involved in going out with our friends in the world too much. We might be lazy. Who knows what it is? It could be anything. But we have to examine ourselves and we have to test ourselves against what is being said here. And then we separate ourselves from that. We find a way to do it. I've not had a glass of sweet tea since December 1st. That is killing me. That's tough. I like sweet tea. It's good stuff. But I had to separate myself from it, because it's not good for me. The sugar in it, it's eating me up. It's killing me. He says, do not touch what is unclean. There is some research that suggests that sugar is as addictive as cocaine or heroin. And that is exactly what sin is. It is spiritual sugar. It's toxic to us. It's addictive. The more we do it, the easier it is to do. And it ultimately, it destroys us. It kills us. In verse 18, it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then we go to chapter 7 and verse 1. Originally, there were no page breaks, and so I would say that this thought should go up with what we're talking about. It says, therefore, having these promises from God, where He promises to be involved in our life, right in the middle of it, He says, therefore, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Let us cleanse ourselves. We have to be actively engaged in this detoxification process. It's not something that God is just going to do for us. I find myself sometimes, I'll talk with God, and I'll say, I need you to do this, I need you to do that, I want this, I want that. Gimme, 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 gimme. And I never have a plan in place for what I'm going to do. How am I going to be involved in it? And it says here for us to cleanse ourselves. We have to be involved in it. We have to test ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. We have to put a plan of action in place. Once we identify what those toxins are, how are we going to get rid of them, not only for today or this week, but forever? Because those spiritual toxins will not be a part of God's kingdom. He says, so cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now this Greek phrase, perfecting holiness, that is a progressive holiness. It's not a sudden attainment of complete holiness. It's a continual process. So we go through these processes of detoxing physically. We go through this process continually, spiritually. It's not a one-time event. You know, we're not cleaned up and there we go. We're holy now. We've perfected holiness. Got it in the bag. Now what do we do? What's next? No, it's a lifetime event. It's something that we do continually. Now, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 20 there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. It says, "For you were bought at a price. Jesus Christ gave His life for us. His blood fell to the ground. And He gave His life, so we have been bought. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ." He says, "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit." Clean yourself up. Clean your lives up. Identify what these spiritual toxins are and identify ways to eliminate those toxins. And the last phrase of that verse, it says, "Which are God's?" Our lives are not ours. God owns us outright, 100%. And we have to glorify God in what we do. Our actions say a lot about who we are. And do we glorify God? Or do we glorify something else? Do we allow those toxins to stay in our lives? So we glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Now let me say something right here. When it comes to physical health, I'm not the man to talk to. Like I said before, I like sweet tea, I like pie, I like cookies. I'm trying to cut that out. There's plenty of people around know a lot more about this stuff than I do. So I'm not the man to talk to. But it is wise and it is biblically sound to educate ourselves about proper health. And it's biblically sound to live a healthy lifestyle. So it's something that we all, to some degree, need to be aware of. How you handle that, that's between you and God. That's not what we're actually talking about today. But it is wise to know those things. Now, when it comes to spiritual health, I just thank God that He has inspired me. He's guided me. He's led me. Because everything that we've discussed so far is straight out of His Word. And everything that we're going to discuss is straight out of His Word. So it's not that I'm telling you exactly how to do it. I'm a mouthpiece for God. I'm sharing what He has said. But again, we have to get in here and we have to dig it out. And not only do we have to dig it out, we have to apply it. I can get all the blood work done that I ever want done. I can educate myself. I can read every article there is to know about sugar, about preservatives, about the science of our bodies. But if I don't do anything with that, if I don't change anything in my life, I'm going to stay exactly how I am or get worse. So spiritually, when we are detoxifying our lives, we have to dig in here. We have to find that information, but then we have to apply it. Because if we don't do anything with it, we don't have a whole lot. We have to apply it. So, now let's look at some of these spiritual toxins and we'll discuss some other ways that we can begin to clean our lives up a little bit. In this same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, back up to verse 9. We'll look at verse 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Every time we read that, we need to be stopped dead in our tracks. That is a fair warning to every one of us in this room. That is a very profound question He poses here. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Very important to think about. It says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are spiritually toxic will not be a part of God's kingdom. Again, these are God's words. They're not mine. But they should grab our attention in a very profound and deep way because they're very important. Now, in verse 11, we're given an antidote to this. It says, and such were some of you. So before we were a part of the church, maybe we engaged in some of these activities. It says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. At baptism, this cleansing process begins. We go down in that water and we come up, hands are laid on us, we receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And all of our sins are washed away because Jesus Christ gave His life for ours. So the cleansing is through Jesus Christ. It's not because we're great. It's not because we're mighty. It's because God had grace on us and He extended an invitation for us to be here. Now, we had our part to play in that because we accepted that invitation. And so we've committed to this way of life. So that cleansing begins at baptism. But remember, we talked about perfecting holiness. This is a progressive holiness that we're seeking after. It's a lifelong event. It's not a one-time event that we're cleansed. It's an everyday process. Now, in 1 Peter 2:24, and we won't turn there, it says, by whose stripes we are healed. It's speaking of Jesus Christ. So one of the key things that we have in order to spiritually detoxify is Jesus Christ gave His life and His flesh was torn and ripped for our healing. And at His death, the veil was rent in two. We were given access to God the Father and we can go directly to God and we can say, I have these spiritual toxins, whatever it is. I have these problems and I need help and I need to be healed. Now, God in Christ will work things out on their timetable in their way. So maybe you go and you pray about a problem that you have and it might be healed instantly. Or it may take years. How God in Christ choose to do that, I don't know. But they will work with you. And they will put in 1,000 times more effort than you will. I guarantee that. And this healing, you can pray for spiritual healing, mental healing, emotional healing, physical healing. You can ask for it all. Remember, God said, I will walk among them. I will dwell with them. I will be their God and they will be my people. He's looking out for us. He is there to care for us. But we have to be engaged in this relationship. We have to make it important to us to be putting these sins, these spiritual toxins out of our life. Now, let's turn over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we'll look at verse 20 through 23. Jesus Christ is talking to His disciples here. And He points out some things about these spiritual toxins. And He brings it down to a fairly personal level with us, I think. Mark chapter 7. Verse 20 says, and He said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. So, our actions, what we do, that begins to show who we are. He says, it's what comes out of a man, what a man's character is, who that person is in their heart, what makes them up. And are we spiritually toxic? Because if we are, then the things that come out of us are going to be evil. Verse 21, he says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, out of their soul, out of their being, out of who they are, proceed evil thoughts." Now, how many of us do not have evil thoughts? We may have a boss that's demanding. We may have a neighbor that's got junk in the yard. Some of you men may have mother-in-laws that don't care for. But I mean, when you stop and you think about it, you know, there are some things it's easy enough for us to pick up and throw a stone at. Oh, I would never steal anything. Oh, I would never commit adultery. Oh, I would never be a homosexual. I'd never do those things. But what about these evil thoughts? It's spiritually just as toxic, just as dangerous. It will destroy us just the same. Adulteries, fornications, murders. We may not physically take the life of somebody, but the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if you're angry without a cause. Do we get angry at people for no reason? Do we hate people? Are we at odds with them for no reason? And these are the questions that we have to honestly ask ourselves. And sometimes they're hard questions. They're tough. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit. Oh, it's just a little white lie. The boss asked me something and he caught me off guard and I didn't know what to say. So I just told him a little fib and I'll make it up later. Is this a part of who we are? And these are the things that we have to begin to look for. As we test ourselves and we examine ourselves, you know, a long time ago, we made a commitment to the Sabbath. We made a commitment to the holy days. We made a commitment to these things, and we fought through those. Many of you may have had job issues or who knows what it was, and you fought through those things. And you've ridded yourself of that spiritual toxin. You don't have to deal with that because you don't wake up on the Sabbath and say, am I going to go to church today? Well, no, it's God's Sabbath. It's a part of who you are. It's a part of your character. But are we still working on this deceit? Or whatever the case might be. And it surreptitiously gets into our lives, and it may have existed a long time. You know, sugar gets into your body, and it takes the path of least resistance, and it'll settle in your joints a lot. So I cut sugar out, by and large, maybe not 100%, but most of it all gone. And about 2 weeks later, my joints and my fingers and my knees, they felt so much better. And I didn't even know they were hurting until that one day they weren't. And that's how sin is. It just creeps in little by little. And we don't even know it's there. We don't even know we're doing it until we stop and we take a step back and we look at our lives and we say, what am I doing? And we go through these lists that we're reading about here and we say, is that a part of my life? Am I one who thinks evil thoughts? Am I one who hates? Am I one who is deceitful? Lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride. Pride's a big one. The problem with pride is you can have it and not know you have it because you're proud. You can't see it. It's hard to look at. And so when you begin to look at yourself, it's hard questions that you're asking. Verse 23 says, all these evil things, it's all spiritually toxic, come from within and defile a man. That's what Jesus Christ himself said. So we have to continually be testing ourselves, be examining our lives. Now, let's turn forward to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16 through 23. This section of scripture we're probably fairly familiar with. It's the works of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. So you have these works of the flesh, these spiritual toxins, and you have these fruits of God's spirit, And they cannot exist together. They're contrary to one another. And so each day, as we approach our lives, we have choices that we get to make. We're put in situations, and they're going to come most every day, and we get to make a choice. Are we going to serve the flesh, or are we going to serve God? Are we going to feed this spiritual toxin, or are we going to glorify God in our minds, in our bodies, in our choices, in what we're doing? Verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." Now, I just read through a list of spiritual toxins in probably about 30 seconds. And you could spend months studying each one of those, determining what they are, how do they affect our lives. And it's things that we need to be looking at, because this is where the rubber meets the road. We can have all knowledge, but if we don't apply it, we don't have anything. So we have to understand what the toxins are. We have to understand what they're doing to us. We have to understand how they affect us in order to combat them, in order to remove them from our lives, in order for us to flee away from that. And again, we're given a very stern warning. And this is another one of those things, when we read this, we need to stop. And we need to contemplate what's said here. He says, "Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Will not. We have a duty to God and Christ to clean our lives up, so that we can have an opportunity to be a part of their kingdom, to live eternally. But these spiritual toxins, these sins, will not be a part of God's kingdom. And we have to put the work in now. Now is our time. How long our life is, we don't know. But each and every day, we have to be looking at it like it's our last. And are we prepared to be a part of God's kingdom at that point? It's a fair warning. And we're given the antidote in the next two verses. There's nine fruits listed here. And these nine fruits, if you could do them, they're a picture of perfect holiness. They're God's nature. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Now again, we've read those very quickly. This is something that we need to spend hours and hours digging into, because it's a picture of complete holiness. It's a picture of what it means to be pure. It's a picture of who Jesus Christ is. And it's our goal as a child of God, made in their image, to become this. And that's how we combat spiritual toxins. That's how we put them out of our lives. It's how we separate ourselves from them. I want to conclude in 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to look at verse 5 through 9. We see the need for spiritual detoxification, the need for cleansing. We've looked at what some of the toxins are, not all of them, but some of them. We've looked at some different ways that we can cleanse ourselves of what we need to be doing, of what we need to be searching after, seeking after. And the ultimate cleansing is through Christ. 1 John 1, verse 5, he says, "This is the message which you have heard from him, Jesus Christ, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is pure. God is toxin free. And if we are not pure, if we are not toxin free, it's going to be difficult to have a relationship, a lasting, eternal relationship with God, with Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So not only at our baptism were we cleansed, each and every day we have the opportunity to go before God Almighty through Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice, because of his blood that fell to the ground, and we have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. We have an opportunity to ask for help, to explain to God, I have this issue, and I'm fighting it, and I'm struggling with it, and I need help. God knows that we are human. He knows that we need help, but he wants us to engage in that relationship. Verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, admit that we have these problems, admit that we have these toxins, these sins that are a part of our lives, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, God and Christ, they are doing their part. Now it's time for us to do ours.